see and read about snake rescues, they see videos or photos of the captures. I tell people about the captures, but we don't really tell people what happens afterwards. And you don't really see that side of things. Sometimes I take videos of the snakes disappearing into the bush, but otherwise there's not always much mentioned about the process afterwards. So that's what we're discussing today. So once I grab a snake, I usually put it in a bucket, a plastic bucket with a lid, which has clips. A lot of guys use the pillowcases or any material bag. I don't, just because I know many, many snake handlers who have managed to put a 2.5 meter black mamba in a pillowcase and then get bitten through the pillowcase. I just have never liked the idea. I never learned how to put a mamba in a bag. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I've never wanted to. I put snakes in bags and pillowcases, but only harmless snakes. There are professional snake handlers that still put them in pillowcases, and that's fine. They're comfortable with that, and yeah, then that's fine. That's them. But for me personally, I use buckets. But the only problem with buckets, of course, is they can escape. Not often. It's happened to me, I think, twice. A snake's popped out a bucket. So now I've learned to strap them down. And once they've strapped down, they can't get out. So I had to learn the hard way. With the harmless snakes, like the non-venomous spotted bush snake, brown house snakes, herald snakes, I'll catch them and then I'll drive to a nearby reserve or conservancy and release the snake there. It's no threat to people. And it's good to try and put snakes in the nearest natural areas to where they've been caught. Some people ask me, are you going to kill the snake now? So once I've caught it, they think I'm going to kill it. So that doesn't happen, because not much point in me risking my life and capturing a mamba in a roof or in a tree only to take it home and chop its head off or gas it. So no, that's not what I do. All the snakes I catch, I get released. Sometimes I hang on to one or two for 2-3 weeks when I've got talks, or when I've got to show people snakes. So like a bush snake, I might hang on to for a week so I can show people at my talk, so now they know what the most common snake looks like, and then I release it. We do not take all the snakes we catch and release them in one area. That would be a big problem. If I caught all the black mambas and took them all to Westville or Mount Moreland or Enanda or something like that, and I took them all there, it'd be a big problem, because there'd be an overpopulation. There'd be very few rodents, and they would push each other out, and we'd have a lot more calls for snakes in homes, and it would be a problem. So we don't do that. We try and space them out, and sometimes it's quite a methodical process, I guess. So when I get home, if I catch a mamba, I like study Google Earth, consider where the snake should go. With snakes, scientists have advised that we don't release them further than, I think, 5 to 10 kilometers away. They just get too disorientated and they can end up just dying. Also, we don't put them in the house next door. A lot of people say you're going to stick it down the road or in my neighbor's garden. And while that could be entertaining, I don't do that. So yeah, we look at where's best, and we do try to release fairly nearby, but not so close that the snake just returns, especially with venomous snakes. As I say, harmless snakes, we just drive nearest reserve park, put them there. Not playground park, as in a conservancy. When I started out working for myself doing snake rescues, black mambas quickly became my, like, that's the snake that really interested me. It became my favorite snake. I'd heard of guys, or I knew of guys that microchipped mambas years ago, which I thought was an interesting project. It had stopped, and then I thought, well, we should do this again. The company that manufacture microchips, the ones that people should put in their dogs and cats, they sponsor me microchips to put in black mambas. So the black mambas I catch, the ones that are released into 4 certain valleys in Durban, my main study site, shall I say. So the mambas I catch, I microchip them and release them. These microchips are not GPS trackers, unfortunately. They, as I say, the microchips that go in dogs and cats. If we microchip that mamba, release it, and then catch it in a year's time, we only know by scanning it. So Verbeck, they gave me a scanner. So the mambas I capture in these valleys, I scan them and see if it's one of mine. We've microchipped nearly 90. We've had quite a few recaptures actually in the past year or so. We've had some fascinating results. Been really interesting. Because there used to be a myth that black mambas always return. And I didn't really believe it. But we have had, in some cases, mambas returning to like exactly the same spot, like within 5 meters. However, that's very few. Well, we've had, I think it's now 14 recaptures out of 90 or so. Just about all of them have been males. So while they can return, they don't always return. But it's been very, really interesting. So I'm still not confident to say mambas all return, because I don't think they do. I think it's just some individuals. You know, we've got a lot to learn. So the more mambas we microchip, and if we get more recaptures, the more we learn. So I've thoroughly enjoyed it. It's very exciting to get a recapture. Yeah, we're just hoping to learn more. We're learning more about where to release snakes, and it's fascinating stuff. With mambas, I also take DNA samples. The little tip of their tail is like, it's almost like cartilage. Yeah, I mean, we chop it off and it doesn't usually even bleed. These get sent to the University of KwaZulu-Natal. 2016, became friends with a guy from Ireland, Cormac. He's now Dr. Cormac Price. He's become one of my best friends. He's a very funny guy. We decided to do mamba research together. So the microchipping stuff, we document mamba sightings around Durban, cases where mambas have clashed with dogs, and then this DNA. And they want to look at, the university want to look at the gene pool of the mambas in Durban, see if it's like a healthy gene pool or is there inbreeding. We'll be able to see if like we've caught the father of this mamba. Stuff like that. I really can't wait till it's all analyzed so that we can see the results, because I think it would be really interesting. We're also taking DNA samples of green mambas. We did take about 80 samples of Mozambique spits and cobras. We've stopped that for now. I think we have enough blades and DNA files for the number of spits and cobras we get. So yeah, we've also been microchipping green mambas in one valley where it's quite inland for them, as well as I work with an estate on the north coast to get a lot of pythons. And we've been microchipping the pythons there to see, well, they don't know if there's too many pythons or not, or is the python population stable? So we microchip all the adult pythons there, so we can start getting an idea of how many pythons are there and what's their movement like. That's the interesting thing with this, the microchipping, is we can see movement. So we can see, okay, we released the snake there and now we've caught it here. So we can see how far it's moved, how much it's grown. It's really interesting stuff. And in one valley, just about most of the mambas we're able to catch around it are microchips at the moment, so we've got a pretty good idea of the numbers there. Although, I mean, there's still many to catch. Most of the recaptures, we've only caught them like twice. There has been two snakes we've caught three times. The one just kept returning to the same spot, so we ended up taking him quite far away. It was a bit of a naughty snake. But yeah, most of the time it's twice, and then I think they're a bit scarred from being captured, so they stay deep in the bush, not wanting to be seen again. Going to release the snakes is always great fun, and it's awesome to see them going free, because on many calls we go to the house and collect dead snakes, either that have been beaten or chopped or killed by a dog or a cat. And so when we catch a live one and see it going off into the bush where it's got a second chance at life, it's a great feeling. It's very rewarding, it's very motivating. So that's one of the perks of the job, really. And often I try and invite people to come and see, because it's good for people to see that, and it's a good feeling. So that's how it's just one little way we try and inspire people to save snakes and become passionate about snakes. So the more education and awareness we can do, the better.